This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
It is Tuesday night again. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny Lupinacci might not be here right now, but we know he's on his way. I don't know, Evan. I heard he had a little bit of an issue with driving a little too fast on his way to the radio show tonight. So let's not mess with him when he does get on.
Of course not. I wouldn't dream of it.
You know, he's funding the local community. We can put it that way, right?
That's right.
He's donating. Evan, we've been talking about this for a long time. And, you know, there's something right now nationally called a teacher shortage. And you've heard me and Johnny talk about solution after solution after solution. Now, okay, Johnny is in the waiting room too, Evan, just to let you know. We talk about solutions about the teacher shortage. How do we deal with the teacher shortage? Johnny, I got it. We had to mess with you, man, for a little bit. There you are. Johnny Lupinacci joins Busted Pencils. Welcome, Johnny Lupinacci. We'll bust you up a little bit during the commercial break, man. But Johnny, teacher shortage, how do we solve the teacher shortage? You and I have talked about this for so long. All right. I want to just first, though, read from a press release. Nashville, Tennessee, paving the way for teaching and educator workforce development nationwide. The Tennessee Department of Education announced it has pioneered a new way to develop teacher pipelines, and it is the first state to be approved by the U.S. Department of Labor to establish a permanent grow-your-own model with Clarksville, Montgomery County School System and Austin Peay State University's teacher residency program, becoming the first registered apprenticeship program for teaching in the country. And quote, "We are proud of the work that we've been able to accomplish with our partners, Clarksville, Montgomery County Schools, the Tennessee Department of Education, and the Department of Labor in charting a new path for teacher education in the state and the nation. We believe that the narrative around teacher education is misleading. People do want to be teachers in our schools, and our residency programs show. We just need to make it more accessible for all. This program is a giant step in that direction. We are honored to be the first in the nation doing this groundbreaking work with Clarksville, Montgomery County Schools." Johnny, and that is from Dr. Prentice Chandler, Dean of the Austin Peay State University Erickson College of Education. And you know what I thought for the tonight show? Instead of quoting that awesome dude, welcome to Busted Pencils, Prentice Chandler, the Dean. Prentice, man, this is pretty awesome. And now this press release, just for the listener, was put out in January. So this has been out there. But you guys also got a lot of press last week. The First Lady, Joe Biden, was there. Secretary Cardona talking about this teacher apprenticeship, grow your own, teacher shortage. All right. If we start at the teacher shortage, and somebody phrases this, so Prentice, how would we, or let me phrase it this way. How did you go from being the dean of the School of Education, a college of education, to like the pioneer of this grow your own apprenticeship? How did we go from traditional teacher training to the apprenticeship? And then we'll talk about more and more about the details, but how do you, or why did you go in a different direction potentially with a different pipeline?
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me. Evan, I hope you didn't get a ticket driving too fast. I think that's what we were talking about before. Okay. Yeah. So I would start by saying that although I'm sort of the person out front in the College of Ed, there's tons of people had a hand in this program. This would not have been possible without, of course, the leadership in the school district, other colleges on our campus working with us, and of course, the team in the College of Ed. So it is a all hands on deck team effort, and we're here today because a lot of folks were rowing in the same direction. So what I would say is this work started back in 2018, and I've always said that in education, particularly higher ed and teacher education, we are really good at talking about our problems, describing our problems, doing research studies on our problems. We go to conferences and talk about our problems. And this is the first time in my career where a group of people have made a concerted effort to actually fix some of those problems. I've been in higher ed almost 20 years. This is a first. And so when I became dean, we started working with a school district like we had never done before. And after our first series of conversations, we realized that the things we were looking for, the things we wanted, and our strategic goals were not similar to the district. They were exactly the same as the district. And that was teacher shortage, more diverse people in the teaching profession, and finding a way to get more people into high needs licensure areas. That's what we wanted. That's what they wanted. And so that's step one, is identifying the problem.
I want to stop you just there, though, for a second on that problem, because I think that is, you know, for the listener. And if you want to jump in too, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. But identifying that problem, when we've talked about the teacher shortage, what's really here and concrete is to lay this out, is to say, a lot of people go, so where do teachers learn to be teachers? And what we're saying, and we're admitting this, is it's like maybe we possibly, from the outset, this idea of teaching teachers exclusively like on campus was kind of like maybe that was part of the problem. And so therefore, by working in partnership with local schools, K-12 schools, you found out that they actually also would like to be involved in preparing teachers.
And I would argue that that's one of the main sort of paradigm shifts that we have made in our college. That is breaking from historical tradition and viewing teacher prep, teacher education as a combination that we work in tandem with the school district to prepare good teachers. That's not the way it's typically been viewed. You know, we educate teachers and send them out into the district and then we're done. And what I would say is this model takes the best of both, takes the best of what we do at the university, takes the best of what they do in the school district, and we work together. One of the things that I've been saying since this program started is there probably isn't a College of Ed out there that says that they don't have partners and that they don't engage in partnership work. And what I would say is this is the first time in my career where partnership work has intentionally been strategic to get at sort of systemic problems. You know, there's the partnership work that you do where you say, I need a student teacher for this math class. So you call the district or the district calls you. It's very transactional. It's very one-off. We all do that. Sure. We like you and you like us. This is a different kind of partnership. It is intentionally designed to get at these problems. And so from that point, once you identify the problems, it's sort of an exercise in saying, what if we were able to do this, this, and this? And of course, when you start asking the what if question, you get people who tell you it can't be done. And so what we did is we, at the beginning, again, kudos to the school district and their leadership, Dr. Sean and Pietrus. He is one of the brightest, talented leaders I've ever been around. But our program is from the beginning is different in that it is a 3-year bachelor's degree, not 4 years, but 3 years. Students go through the summers. We have them taking 8-week courses, so they take 2 at a time. So that's kind of the structure. We took out the student teaching hours and put special education coursework, so they get a heavy dose of special ed. That allows them to be dually licensed in kindergarten, K-5, and SPED, which is what the district needed, so that's why we framed it that way. It is tuition-free to the students. It is not free to the institutions. It is tuition-free to the students, so I want to make that clarification.
Yeah, and we're going to come back and talk about that one because that's one of those ones that needs a little bit of explaining. But yeah, just keep giving us the contours.
Yeah, it's tuition free to the students. They don't pay for books either. The Teachers Association went in to help us buy the books. They are for 3 years employed by the school district as teacher residents. So in the traditional model, you get 1 semester of student teaching where you work for free. And you kind of pretend teaching. For this, you work for 3 years in a school district with gradual increase in responsibilities. We know the attrition rate for teachers is high, but when you have students, when you have residents in the field for a year or more, ours is 3 years, but for a year or more, we keep about 85 to 90% of those teachers in the field. So that's something by itself. They are employed during their 3 years, but they are also hired into the district at the end of their degree. They are learning from a master teacher. Again, an improvement on traditional teacher ed where they just stick you with whoever will take you. In Tennessee, teachers are graded on value-added measures. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of value-added or whether or not you like it or not, but Tennessee has a ranking system 1 through 5. All of these people are learning from level 4 and 5 teachers, and they're strategically placed in the highest need schools in the district. Again, I've never been a part of something like this before. Our first cohort had 40 students. 20 of the students were traditional age freshmen. The other 20 were recruited, intentionally recruited from the school districts. They were people who were already working in the schools. I think we had a custodian or a bus driver who took us up on this, and now they're a teacher. But this is the first time, and I keep repeating myself, but it's the most impressive part of this whole thing, is that it's the first time in my career that a College of Ed and a district and a state department and a teachers association all work together to solve problems.
Yeah. And, oh my goodness. Well, there is so much there, Prentice. Thanks for those contours. We're coming up on a break, and I just want to put this out. You've got so many questions. Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. We are talking with Dr. Prentice Chandler, the dean at Austin Peay State University, of the first registered teacher apprenticeship program in the country. We're getting the lowdown on that. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Prentice, there's so many questions. It's like, you know, so grow your own. What does grow your own mean? When you're talking about, you know, we used to student teach, now we're not student teaching. I'm working in the district. They get employed by the district. You have a retention rate that's incredibly high as considered. All of these questions, when we get back, more with Prentice Chandler, the dean. Johnny's going to jump into It's Busted Pencils. It's fully led at Education Talk, and we will be back at the break. Education Talk, educated educators talking education, and we are truly full, getting blessed. What do you want to say? Blessed. We've got the educated educators talking education. Dr. Prentice Chandler, Austin Peay State University College of Education Dean, the first registered teacher apprenticeship in the nation. Prentice, you gave us a nice rundown on this. So here's, when you say it's tuition free to the students, but not right to the institutions, help us understand that. Because, I mean, Johnny and I both are at colleges of education, teacher education programs. And my first question is going, but wait a minute, the students who come to my college, we aren't going to let them in for free, man. Right. Like they have to pay tuition. Are you saying help us understand that?
So what I would say, this is probably an hour long conversation about funding. So I'll just give you the quick version. So each year that we've done this, we are in our, we had our first cohort in 2019. The first year was the most expensive, and each year we have found ways with our partners, with support from the state, to make it cheaper. The last piece of that affordability part is the nationally recognized apprenticeship, which is registered through the Department of Labor. What an apprenticeship allows you to do is to seek and hopefully get federal funding to pay for aspects of the program, tuition, and actually federal apprenticeship dollars can pay for housing, car repairs, a lot of things. To answer your question directly, the short of it is that you take 40, the number 40, because that's how many we had in our first cohort. You multiply that number times what it takes to get 1 degree. So that gives you 1 degree times 40. You then talk to the president and the provost of the university, which neither one of those are currently with us anymore. They took other jobs. We have new president, new provost. But the then president and provost at the time, my pitch to them was, they agreed with me, which is we should care more about teacher ed at this university than we currently do. I know we have a College of Ed, but we really have a chance here to put our money where our mouth is and support it. And so what they agreed to do was that the university would pick up half of the tuition and the district would pick up the other half. Mm. Now, from that point, I was able to work with finance to get all of the unnecessary fees removed.
Yeah.
So you start out with a big number, 40 times tuition, take away the fees, you factor in Pell Grants, so that the big numbers, you divide that number by two, we pick up half, they pick up half. But once you take out a lot of fees, you take out the grants and the Pell Grants and that sort of stuff, you still have big numbers on each side, but they're not as big as they were to begin with. Mm. And from the district standpoint, they factored that into their budget. That was year one. Year two, the Tennessee Department of Ed picked up on this idea and started issuing $100,000 grants to colleges of ed who wanted to do this work. So that made it even a little cheaper.
Okay.
The following year, it was even cheaper because the State Department allowed for us to have a class size waiver, which simply means with this program, you have more adults in the classroom. So you would have a teacher of record and you would have two residents. So you would have three adults in the room. So the ratio of kids to adults goes from 1 to 24 to 1 to 8. Mm. Right. And so that calculation actually saves school districts having to pay for an additional teacher.
Okay.
So they take that money. And they use, so there's lots of ways. And so that's how we've sort of paid for it. Again, like I mentioned before, the last sort of push to make it as affordable as possible has been this apprenticeship, which once someone describes what an apprenticeship is to you, you're like, well, that sounds like teacher ed. Like there's a classroom component, there's a support component, there's a gradual release component, and there's a field component. Well, heck, that's teacher ed. And once we were registered with the Department of Labor, and you become an officially registered apprenticeship, you're able to seek funding. And so I have heard people on media talk about how this is free, and that's sort of partially true in that it's free to the students.
Right.
Somebody's paying for it somewhere along the way.
Right.
But it is
not,
free.
No,
to the students.
Right. As you said, not a free lunch. And I said, where Johnny's at, where I'm at, where you at, I said, we're institutions and tuition is part of this. So if, if you're listening, it's not tuition free. There are funding sources that kind of, try to make this, as Prentice was just talking about this. But, what you're really honed in on, Prentice, though, was this early on that I think that people really need to hear about this if they're thinking about, wow, I would like to try that. I still hear the need for so much communication and partnership between you, the district, the State Department, your own leadership at the college. I mean, I know we only got 2 minutes left on break. You think we can hold you on after this break for a little bit for one more round? Okay, awesome.
Of course.
Awesome. Because this is too rich.
This is great. It is good. And it's going to be, I want to hear when we come back from the break, Tim, if it's all right, just Prentice talk a little bit about the differences between grow your own, kind of do this yourself, versus apprenticeship and partnership.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say we get a little bit more
too, because I think it's really, I think this is the moment. I think colleges of ed around the country, especially teacher ed, are figuring out how do we really engage in community. And we talked the last few weeks about this. COVID taught us a lot. Mm-hmm. Tell us that we can be doing better. We knew, like Prentice said, we know a lot about the problems and we've talked through them and we've identified them and we all have plans for how to solve them someday. Well, someday came really quick and everything got a whole lot worse. And so hearing about how all hands come on deck to really think about that collaboration. And I love hearing teaching and apprenticeship together as a blue collar scholar and a teacher myself. It's like we've known this. This is what we come up in our training. So If we can hold you over, Prentice, and hear more about it, it'd be great.
That is perfect because, those rich questions, the apprenticeship, what's the difference, grow your own. You know, but here we are. It is Busted Pencils, fully led at education talk, truly educated educators, talking education. Also, if you want to join us when we get back, the number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Teacher apprenticeship, teacher shortage. Are we talking solution tonight or are we talking about possibilities? Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back after the break. It's Busted Pencils Tuesday night. We're dancing if you could see us on the channel. You can't right now, though. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. Johnny and I are talking to Dr. Prentice Chandler, the dean at Austin Peay State University of the College of Education. We're talking about teacher apprenticeship, grow your own models, funding, how we do this, the solution. We had a really great conversation during the break, Johnny and Prentice and me. And Prentice, you kind of wanted to talk about a little bit before we get into some of the deeper questions here on, you know, an issue that you're concerned about.
Well, concerned is probably an understatement because I don't want this. I don't want this program to be watered down or turned into something that it's not. I do want to say up front and be crystal clear that this is not a sort of wholesale overnight replacement of university-based teacher education. This is a university-based teacher education program. It was approved by the Department of Labor and Tennessee Department of Ed to be a university-based teacher ed program. It's not designed to do away with university-based teacher prep. But what I would say is if we could go back like 80 years ago and sort of start over from scratch about how we prepare teachers, there would be some things we would change. Mm-hmm. So just because you want to change and evolve doesn't mean that we shouldn't train teachers at university. We should. There was some press that came out in January that hinted that this would be used to do away with university-based teacher ed, and that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm the dean of a college of education. That's where I think it belongs.
Well, you think about that, the essentialness there too, for the people to put in there is that, you know, what makes this apprenticeship model a little bit different than quote the vocational is the requirement and the need to recognize a bachelor's degree, a college education is essential in this apprenticeship. It's not an alternative to a college degree. The college degree is absolutely essential in this. So if anybody is hearing us, there is no advocation for saying that this is an alternative to university. This is saying this is university in partnership with K-12, in partnership with communities, saying we really care deeply about quality teacher education. This is our moment to come together as partners to really, as Prentice, you started out the show, we're not going to talk about the problem of teachers leaving too soon, of not enough teachers entering the field, of problem areas. We're going to solve this problem. And so this is a deep, detailed solution to a systemic problem that's been going on for a long time. And I think that's the other thing I want to communicate to the listener right now is that this is not a quick fix, short answer to a problem, quote, the teacher shortage. Right. And I've talked about, you know, is this, and I was going to say, is this the solution to the teacher shortage? And the answer is wait.
Well, I think, I think that the teacher shortage is more complicated than something that you could solve with one program. I think there's a respect issue for the profession. I think there's a pay issue for the profession. I think there are working conditions so there are multiple factors that lead into the teacher shortage. Getting qualified people into buildings, into schools, this program does do that, right? But those other issues are not things that this program, I don't think, can solve. There's that the quote that I can't remember how it goes, but it's basically for every for every social problem, there are tons of really simple ideas that can fix it that happen to be incorrect. And so it's not a simple fix. It took a year and a half of planning, meeting before we rolled this thing out. So if you are hearing that, oh, we should do this, we should write a plan up on Tuesday and roll it out on Wednesday, that's not how this works. And for the record, very few things of quality work that way anyway.
Right. Right.
That's not a thing. And so I forgot to mention that our community colleges are also our partners in this. I mentioned before how each year it became more and more affordable. Mm-hmm. And in the third year of doing this, my associate dean, Lisa Barron, mentioned that it would cut the cost in half if we would partner with the community colleges, because in Tennessee, you can attend community college for free. So now our model has that sort of fifth partner with us and the district and the state and the teachers association. Now our students come to us in a cohort model, already having earned their associates in teaching. Mm-hmm. And that cuts the cost in half. So the bigger point there is, if you are a school leader and you're listening to this, don't let cost be the excuse, because we've cut this down to half of half. So school districts will be on the hook for half of a degree, so a quarter of a degree.
Johnny Lupinacci, I see you looking.
I love it. I love hearing this, because I love when partnerships produce or generate creative solutions, right? And what Prentice is sharing here about all of the collaborators, right, that come together to make this, make it complex. Not that we shouldn't do these things, but they're going to be situational, and they're going to be grounded in what is the need in the particular district, and who's on deck and who can do what. And let's start working on what are the brass tacks.
Right.
And when we get to the table to get really creative about it, we find solutions that work. Now, what Prentice is also cautioning us to, which I like, is saying, then we have this cultural sort of habit or bad habit of, it worked there. Cut, paste, and roll that out like it's a video game. And what we're hearing here is it's unique. It doesn't mean we shouldn't learn from it and try the process. And what I'm hearing, Apprentice, I love that you're sharing it. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is really about relationship work. And this is really about coming together as community stakeholders in education and saying, we know we're good at some, we know some stuff. And we know what at least one of the needs is we need more highly qualified and supported people in our schools as teachers. All right, let's get to it. How can we do that together? And what I love about this is it's a temporary thing, because I know we'll get more into the weeds, but so what do we do once the partnership has yielded all these highly qualified teachers that aren't running out of schools, because they're like, this is a great place to teach. We're good at teaching. And so, I love that you said it doesn't replace things. It sort of comes in a building era. Like, we talk a lot about sports sometimes, because Tim and I love sports. Yeah. So this is a rebuild era. We're in a rebuild time. We're building a championship district, right? And when we get going, we're going to have a run as a dynasty, but we're going to know how to rebuild when we need to. So I love this, Prentice. Thanks for sharing this.
And Clarksville, Montgomery County is one of the fastest growing parts of the country. They build new schools. I don't want to quote the number of schools, but because I'll mess it up. They're always building new communities and new roads. This community cannot keep up. The schools cannot keep up with the growth of the community. And then to your point, I cannot, Dr. Barron, my associate dean, and I, we say this all the time at conferences. There's the money, the financial piece, and there's the deep partnership work piece that cannot be overstated. I've already bragged about the leadership in the district. It's the most talented district I've worked with. But what I would say too is that, from personally speaking, this relationship for me starts with recognizing that the relationship between universities and school districts is sometimes strained, right? Mm-hmm. Right. We look sideways at each other, and we sort of doubt that the other side will do what we say. And so we have to kind of, one of the things that I sometimes say to our leadership team is we just have to get over ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the irony is that if we ask them to write down, what do you care about? And we ask our folks to write down, what do you care about? It's the same stuff. But we oftentimes, it's a turf war over who gets to make the call about this and this and that. We all want the same things. And this, again, a year and a half of meetings,
a year and a half of meetings to lead up to then the first round of implementation of which that and how many years of like trying, because this is the other, I know this, Prentice, because you and I've talked, you know, before off air, that there was also this building where you went to a residency model that then went into this. It was a stage type of evolution even after the planning, correct?
Right. So if there are three big stages here, it would have to be deep partnership work. That's step one. Residency, that for us means our students spend 3 years in the field. The more common model is 1 year. Mm-hmm. Even with a 1 year model, the people stay in the field at a much higher rate. Step three is that apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes if you're listening and you don't know the difference, grow your own is a generic term used to describe how we intentionally recruit people from our communities who look like us, who love our community, who love our kids already, and they just need a chance to be a teacher. Apprenticeship is the federally registered Department of Labor piece. Mm-hmm. And so one is sort of grow your own teachers within your community. The other was more financial. There's almost a technical definition to apprenticeships. The other thing I think I forgot to talk about too was the recruitment of people into this program. As you'll recall from the beginning of the conversation, one of the things that we wanted and the school district wanted was a more diverse teaching workforce. Absolutely. We wanted teachers who looked like our students. Clarksville, Montgomery County is about 50% diverse. Our teaching workforce is about 15 to 17% diverse. And with these cohorts, with intentional recruitment of people from the community, those numbers are hovering around 50% now. So I don't know about you all, but when we do traditional recruitment into teacher ed, it's still overwhelmingly white folks going into the profession. And we're trying to push back against that trend too. So that's one of those problems that no one seems to have an answer to. Well-meaning people who want to make a difference. This is the first time in my career that we've been able to move the needle on that particular issue.
Well, and you take that too, you know, the goal there too is one of the things what you came to was recognizing the diversity of the teaching force that was already in the schools and how as a partner in teacher education at Austin Peay State University, how you in partnership with the local school district said, actually there are quite a few wonderful candidates from all kinds of backgrounds who we need to provide opportunities for them to become teachers. And so that's the quote, grow your own aspect of the recruiting model. Mm-hmm. So I think about grow your own is kind of like a way, like you said, it's the way we talk about recruiting, how we're recruiting for this. We then have a residency, which is this kind of model of deep embedded, you know, no more 15 weeks of student teaching, but you are in a school at a minimum of a year. And as you're saying, 3 years, and then the application to the federal definition of apprenticeship. So for the listener, you know, take about that three stages, grow your own as a recruitment model. And then we're looking at a residency based education type of, I don't know if pedagogy is the right word, but the embeddedness of preparing a teacher on the job, and then the qualifications of how much time is spent on the job allows it to be called an apprenticeship.
And I think you hit on something that was in that quote from the very beginning of the call. The idea that that people do not want to teach.
I was going to ask you, I wanted you to answer this question. Go for it.
And that's the national narrative, that teaching sucks and nobody wants to do it, that no one would be caught dead being a teacher, and it's the most horrible profession ever. That's actually not true. We intuitively, those of us who are teachers, know that it's not true. People do want to be teachers. It's clear from our program. We simply, as a profession, as higher ed folks, we have to make it more attainable and more accessible. I know that to be true because we have a waiting list for people to get into this program. So if people didn't want to be a teacher, then we would be struggling to get people to sign up for this thing. And the opposite happens to be true, simply by making it affordable and accessible.
Well, and that's it, because, you know, you think about that, the idea, why is it so important? We first want to get people into teaching who want to be teaching. And we say, Prentice, bringing that in, first of all, I want to thank you for joining the show, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. Dr. Prentice Chandler, the dean at Austin Peay State University. Check it out. Google Austin Peay State University, Clarksville, Montgomery County. Check out the cool apprenticeship work they're doing. You're going to love to see what it's there. But Prentice, just to remind everybody to start this deep partnerships about preparing wonderful
any way you want it, that's the way you need it, any way you want it. She loves to dance, she loves to
no, that's not Journey, that's Rise Against. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded education talk. Great song, though, when Journey did it. I think even better when Rise Against does it. And any way you want it, that is the way you get it here on Busted Pencils every Tuesday night. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, thank you again to our guests for the first 45 minutes of the show. Dr. Prentice Chandler, Austin Peay State University Dean of their College of Education, talking about teacher apprenticeship. And man, deep partnership. Johnny, we're just sitting there thinking, it's like, okay, we have to, first of all, a follow-up show because there's so much there. Because we want to ask all these questions. But, you know, we're in teacher education, you and I. That's what we do, okay, right? And are you offended that the possibility that maybe what we've traditionally done in teacher education might not be, or let me put it this way. Maybe it's part of the problem.
Well, I mean, Tim, I'm not offended, first of all. So 17 years in teacher ed, formal, like preparing teachers to be in our classrooms and in our schools and in changing schools. And I'm not offended at all, because one of the things that we've been trying to tackle for a few decades, and that was even happening before I was, you know, on the scene. So I don't want to take credit for it, but I'll be part of it, is that there's got to be some other ways we can do this. And I think one of the things that our guests tonight shared that I really loved is, it's okay to do things a few different ways. This isn't a replacement of, you know, a degree program in education. And I think those are really important. But it's looking at that there's a couple different ways to get that degree. And that if we want diverse professionals in our classroom, both culturally diverse, but also just diverse in the skills and the passions and the things that they bring to young people, then we have to think about what might different pathways through that look like. And we got to get creative about it. So I really like that it's not a replacement to things that we know kind of work, but they don't work for everybody. And so one of the things is, when, especially when we have a shortage, and I put scare quotes around that. You can't see us on radio, so radio scare quotes. but I meant that metaphor. We're, a lot of our districts are in a rebuild, and almost all of our schools are thinking about how we do things differently, learning after what we went through in COVID. So what do we know we can do better on, given that all of those shortcomings were highly exacerbated during COVID and whatnot? And so we're all in improvement rebuild time. Yeah. And during a rebuild, we get creative about what we might do to build back up to dynasty level, right? Mm. To how do we become a championship winning sort of district of teachers?
How do we become the 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there, man. I knew you were going to go there. We're not even going to get into this week's football.
Okay.
Except that my Lions are looking very uncharacteristic of the Detroit Lions. But yeah, exactly. How do we do that? And so as a teacher educator, no, I'm not offended. I don't think it threatens anything that colleges of education do, except what Prentice shared with us is that it reminds us that humility goes a long way. That we get together and we say, how do we take all of our expert knowledge and take a crack at solving the situational problem that is, how do we rebuild together? So, you know, I love it. It offers and invites in opportunity for a lot of expert input, community input. And you know, I can only see good things coming from this. So it'll be exciting to learn more what happens with the program at Austin Peay. But I know other programs are going to learn from this and not replicate, but sort of learn from and implement their situational version. And it's exciting. The last thing I'll end on, and I'll turn it over for you, Tim, is for teacher educators out there or people who are thinking, yeah, Tim and Johnny say it's not a threat, but it's a threat. Read the writing on the wall. If you don't get together and do something about this, industry will. And what I mean by industry is that there are companies of in education out there who are ready to say, you know what, you've been fumbling this for too long. We're just going to implement schools and school districts that privately certify teachers. And so kids, go out there and get your degree, come to us, and we'll hire you. And within 3 to 5 years, we'll have you a certified teacher in the state. And so with that on the table, I love that Prentice and his team got together and said, you know what? No, this is a democracy. Public education is real in this state, at least. And we're going to take this on and solve this as a problem. And so let's get to it.
Yeah. You know, you think about that, right? It's just like, I'm glad you said that, Johnny, because you know what? There is a, and I know we've debated this, but there is a teacher shortage. People don't want to, we're having a tough time. And you know what? If colleges of education, schools of education, departments of education, in collaboration with K-12, in collaboration with the communities, don't come up and say, we can do this together and we can do this better. What you're saying, Johnny, is this idea of going, somebody will, and they won't necessarily. And in fact, we've already seen, we've got some indicators out there. American Board Certification for Teacher Education is one that's out there. Relay Graduate Schools of Education are out there, which is a hard thing to say that there's a Relay Graduate School of Education when they're not even a real graduate school. However, they're out there. These things pop up. Are they good? Are they not? That's not the point. The point is that there are people saying, we can do this. If you don't want to do this, we can. And Johnny, we can do this. When you talk about this thing, man, what, as you said, it's not only a rebuilding time, it's a reclaiming time to reclaim this area, to say teacher education at the university in partnership with K-12, in partnership with community, working with community colleges, working together with the community workforce labor development, all of those together, the Teacher Education Association, you got to do it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education, educated educators talking education. Man, we will be back next week. Thanks for listening.
We're almost there. Almost there.
Landed a little early.
Landed that plane a little early.
One of the best notes too. You know, we've said this a long time, and this will frustrate some of our association members because we're pretty blue collar here. But the idea is like teaching is a blue collar thing. And so hearing that there's apprenticeships, much like we went through to be plumbers, boom.
At Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.